Our car, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Let's get to your phone calls. We go to Bill in Farmington Hills. You're on 97.1. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, this whole Dylan Larkin thing, the days that go on makes Larkin look worse and worse. This guy is just basically angling to get booed off the ice, you know, the minute he steps into the LCA. he just looks horrible. The fact that nobody's denying any of this just tells us all that, you know, what's being written is true. This was so poorly handled, and this falls squarely on Larkin. You can hate the Eisner plan all day long, and we all do, but this should have been done behind closed doors, you know, away from the cameras, away from the press. He screwed this up. This is such a crap.
Hold on, Bill. So you're assuming that he leaked it?
Yeah. Why? What benefit would the Red Wings do in leaking it?
I don't think the Red Wings leaked it either. Is it possible
somebody
that
from his side did?
Why do you think it's his side? It would actually hurt his side.
Well, I don't think there's any way Yzerman did. So I don't think the Red Wings.
Yeah, Yzerman's. My guess is that he made this request and probably made it well before we heard about it. Yzerman started talking to other teams about a Larkin trade, and those other teams served as the leak. That's what makes the most sense to me.
That's a possibility. But the fact that nobody is denying any of this from Larkin's side.
Well, yeah, because it's true. It's true. Yeah. If it's true that he wants to be traded.
That's fine. He wants to be traded. But, I mean, three teams? Matthew Stafford?
That's a different deal, okay? The idea that he should have a vast array of teams to make it more realistic that the Red Wings can do something. Because regardless of what... Bill, let's start with this before we get into the three teams thing. Your anger, I think, is misplaced on Dylan's side. I don't think Dylan leaked it. I don't think anybody from Dylan's side leaked it. It would hurt his tradable value. They wouldn't want to do that.
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, essentially, he's trying to force something. He's trying to get out of town with 5 years left on his contract.
And the best way to do that is for this to be silent and just let the Red Wings go about their business so that other teams don't call in with lowball offers because they think the Red Wings are desperate. Like,
you make a valid point, yep. And you're right.
Now, the three teams Bill, the three teams thing is absurd. It's absurd. He's asking an organization that has signed him to a big contract, that has made him very wealthy, to turn around and do him a solid. And he's earned his money. Like, you've earned your money, that's fine. But you're asking them to do you a solid under your terms, where you limit the potential return to the organization you're asking to do you a favor.
Yeah, but you know how you guys always say, like, well, we don't know the full story, right?
Yep. Yep.
Always say that, right?
Yep.
How do you know that Yzerman didn't go to him, hey, give me some teams you would be interested in getting traded to? And
we don't
gave
know
him three teams.
Nope, we don't know that.
So, you know what I mean? Like, maybe he's like, these are my preferred three teams, right? You know? Obviously, he's probably open to more, be honest with you, because he's got it. If he really wants to get out of Detroit, he's going to have opened it up.
It's an important point to make. You're right. If he hasn't opened him up, if it's sort of a soft list,
yeah,
that's fine.
Of course. Like, so, hey, what's your top three? Well, here are my top three.
So here's where I'm going to say, maybe after further thought, I might agree with the previous caller a little bit that it could be Larkin's camp.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're trying to work on things behind the scenes, if Yzerman is going to work a deal,
mm-hmm,
and he knows that Larkin wants to be traded, he's not going to tell teams that Larkin wants to be traded. He wants out of here. I don't think he's going to say that.
He might not. No.
So how does that word get out? Because the reports are that Larkin asked for the trade.
Might be a team calling his agent and asking his agent questions. And they might say, well, he wants to leave Detroit. Like, but they might say, keep it on the down low. I can't imagine them at any point, anybody wanting this to be public. From the Red Wings side.
No, I can't imagine either. I think you want to get something done. And then, but obviously, it's tough to do when you've got a player that has a no trade clause.
Yes. Let's go to Mike in Minneapolis. You're next. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how's it going? I'm actually in town here in Detroit. I'm going to be going to that Tigers-Twins game tonight. I'm really excited to see Comerica Park for the first time. And, you know, I've been here to Detroit about five times. And, you know, in Minnesota, they call it Minnesota nice. That's, you know, I guess what we're supposed to be like. But I got to tell you, don't take it for granted what you have here in Detroit, because no matter where I've been in town, everybody goes out of the way to say hello. I mean, as an example, I'm here at Belle Isle just kind of hanging out. I was at a picnic table, and just some guy walks by and says, I hope you're having a great day. So just want to give a lot of respect and love to all of you in Detroit. Excited to go check out the game. Really, really excited about going to that ballpark and, you know, growing up, you know, watching Fielder hit, you know, bombs off, you know, the old stadium's roof. It's just an awesome city. And I really enjoy this show. You guys have a good pace, so it's pretty fun listening to all of this.
Cool. Well, thanks. Hopefully you don't get rained on, although you probably will.
Well, you know what? I did some research before, and so I got seats in what's called the Tiger Den, which should an overhang over the top. Yeah, so, you know, when you come from Minnesota, we deal with weather all the time.
This is true.
So, you know, I'm kind of almost like on the edge of a certified meteorologist with all the snow and all the stuff we get. So you get used to this type of stuff. So I did my research ahead of time, but definitely looking forward to the game.
Do you like your stadium? The new Target Field?
I really do. You got to remember, when I was growing up, we had the Metrodome, okay? So these really terrible blue seats. I mean, it's just how I grew up. Yep. Terrible turf. So when they went outdoors, I mean, that's what you really feel what baseball is outdoors. So I do love it. But again, just looking forward to this stadium. I mean, we have our own problems in Minnesota with ownership with the Twins and never making moves. So it's kind of interesting hearing the perspective here in Detroit, you know, some of the things that you guys are thinking about. But again, just outdoor baseball for me in Detroit. I mean, it's going to be awesome. Whether there's some rain or not, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to have a good time.
You know, it's interesting because when I think of the Minnesota professional teams, I think that their stadiums, they look awesome. I haven't had the chance to go to any of them. But the football stadium looks incredible. The baseball stadium, what I like about that is that it's like built into the ground and built kind of really steep. So the sight lines should be pretty great no matter where you're at.
I sat in the upper deck there. It felt closer to the field than most upper decks.
And the hockey and basketball team play in the same arena, right?
Yeah, the hockey team has a separate arena. Basketball team is at the Target Center. They're trying to get a new one. But again, it's living in Minnesota, here's the thing. I'm a big sports fan, but it's always, no matter what team it is, it's next year. Oh, hey, we got it. We're going to do it next year. And like, I got family members. I'm sure it's the same here in Detroit with you guys, where I'll have a family member for the Vikings that it's like, we pick up some like mid linebacker that's just, you barely know who he is. And they go, oh, that's the one we need. And I'm telling you, this is the year. Look, we haven't won the big, you know, anything big since 91 with the Twins. So it's been a long, long drought. So,
well, enjoy your stay here in Detroit. It sounds like you're already off to a good start.
We appreciate your calling, Mike. Thank you for sharing. 248-539-9797. Jewel is next on 97.1. Hello, Jewel.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Nothing. I just, you know, I'm a lifelong Red Wings fan. I was born in 86, so I got the greatest childhood ever in hockey, you know? Yeah, but it's tough because, you know, Dylan got drafted and he was a kid, and he's not really a kid now. And, you know, I, as much as I've been a Dylan hater, I want to say that, like, these last couple of years, I've really tried to be as optimistic as I could. But it's been the same season where he just gets so amped up and he's pumped for this, like, the world tournament and then for the Olympics. And he comes back and he plays flat. And at the end of the season, he's got the game on his stick in a shootout, and he misses the net. And these are, you know, must-win games to make it to the playoffs. And, yeah, I mean, I get it. And I know that, like, yeah, having James Van Riemsdyk go out on a shootout, yeah, we don't look great. And even with Patrick Kane, I remember thinking, like, come on, guys. Like, we're grabbing at straws. But there was one thing he said after the Olympics, and I'll never forget it. My friend actually reminded of it to me the other day when the news broke. And that was, he was talking about when Jack Hughes scored the goal. And he just said that, you know, he was like, oh, I was like skating off the ice. And I just look behind me and I see Jack, you know, and he's got the game on a stick and he scores and he wins. And, you know, I think Dylan's great. I think he's a great hockey player, but I don't think he's the guy who you want. When the game's on the line, you know, you don't necessarily want him to have the puck on his stick. It's like the whole, when we lost against you know, when Lidstrom had that shot and we lost in the finals in game seven against Pittsburgh in 2008, I think it was 2009. And like that, you know, Lidstrom's as great as a player as he was, maybe if somebody like Datsyuk or Zetterberg had the puck, they could have maybe done something to, you know, to Marc-Andre Fleury, maybe a little bit more patience or done a little bit more of like a goal scorer's thing. I don't know. I hate, and it's like with the last caller, like we should be grateful. You know, we've had a great Detroit sports, you know, I mean, yeah, the things with the Lions, but these last couple of years have been great, but you know, we're lucky as Detroit sports fans, I would say, you know, but it's a tough.
He kind of landed the plane, but not really. That plane was in a holding pattern for a while.
The ratio of words to message was one of the greatest I've ever seen. I don't know what the message was, but he said a lot.
It was a lot. I think the message was he doesn't think that Dylan Larkin is the go-to guy.
I didn't think so either, but then he was talking about everything we should be grateful for, and I'm like, including Dylan Larkin? It was a lot of words.
A lot.
Thank you for the call, Carson Anderson, 97.1.